Begin the current daf and start the site of daf mem zayin. Begin on the bottom line of daf mem vav mem beis, where the Gemara continues discussing the passages in the parasha discussing Elisha, which as we introduce this, because the topic of our parak is Egla Rufa, which is when someone is found, killed, murdered, and they don't know who killed them. So on that, the explanation was, and that's what the sages of the city say, that we didn't see, in other words, we didn't let him go without an escort. So we see the importance of being malava, someone escorting someone, whereas Rabbi Yechon said in the name of a mayor that whoever is not malava or mislava, it's ki'ilo shevech dam, it's like he spilled blood. And the reason being is, like he said, because had it been that the people of Yericho would have escorted Elisha, then we wouldn't have had this whole incident that we're discussing, where that he incited the bears to attack the little children that were taunting him. Because they would have been there, they would have prevented the whole thing. So continuing in that parsha, the Gemara brings the pasuk that says, "Vatitzena shtayim dovim min hayar," that two bears came out of the forest, "Vatavakana mehem arbam mishnei yiladim," and they split open 42 children. Again, this was because of the children taunting Elisha, and therefore he cursed them, and that caused the bears to come and attack the children. So we continue on top of Mem Zayin Manav, where the Gemara says, "Rav and Shmuel." There are two different interpretations in that pasuk. Charam Rnes, one interpretation says it was a miracle. V'charam Rnes B'teichnes, the other one says actually it was a miracle within a miracle. How so? So the Gemara explains. Mandam Rnes, the one that says it was a miracle, Yar Hav, there was a forest over there. But Daivim Lahav, but there was no bears. But miraculously, the bears came again because of Elisha's curse. Mandam Rnes B'teichnes, the one who says it was a miracle within a miracle, is actually Lo Yar Hav, there actually was no forest there. V'loy Daivim Hav, and there were no bears there. And miraculously, a forest appeared, and bears from the forest came out and attacked the children. Now the Gemara wonders, let there just have been the miracle of the bears with no forest. In other words, what was the necessity of creating the miracle of a forest where you're calling it a miracle? So the Gemara explains, no, because they were easy. The bears would have been afraid to attack the children if they wouldn't have had a closed place like a forest to escape from and to hide in. But since they're very close to the forest, so they go out confidently. That's why they were able to go out and attack those 42 children. So it was a necessary component of the miracle of Elisha's curse. Now, Amar Reb Chanina, regarding this episode of Elisha, because he wasn't escorted, and that's how the whole incident started, but that he cursed, and that caused the death of these 42 children. So Amar Reb Chanina, he says that Bishvil Arbam Mishmaim Karbonis Shekrev Balak Melech Moiv, it because of the 42 karbonis that Balak, the king of Moav, sacrificed, which is in the parasha of Balak, which we know with Bilam tried cursing the Jewish people when they were in the Midbar. So Huvku mi Yisrael arba mishnayim yuladim. It was because of that, those 42 karbonis that he brought, which caused these 42 children to be split open. Now the Gemara wonders, is that really so? But V'am Rabbi Yehuda Marav, he says, La'olam yasek adam in Torah v'mitzvos. He says, a person should always toil in Torah and in mitzvos, v'af b'shalei lishma, even if it's not being done for the sake of heaven. No, the reason is, what would be the purpose of doing it shalei lishma? It's a mitech shalei lishma, b'lishma, because like it's like a ladder. By doing it, not for its sake, but once someone gets used to doing something, then you'll get to taste and you'll get used to doing it for actually lishma, for the sake of heaven purposes. And where did you see this idea? So says Rav, because of the reward of the 42 sacrifices that Balak, the king of Moav, brought to Hashem, it was in that merit that out of him, from Moav, came Rus, where out of her came David, and which out of her came Shlaima, because regarding him it says, a thousand totally burned karbanis was brought up by Shlaima, where we see the increase of karbanis in the days of Shlaima. So we see that that was the reward of Balak's 42 karbanis, where although his was Shalei Lishma, obviously it wasn't for the sake of heaven, he wanted to curse the Jewish people, but through that came Lishma, which were the karbanis of Shlaima. Now, more of Avam Reb Yisrael ben Chaini, he says that Rus was Bito Shel Eglon, she was the daughter of Eglon, Benoi Shel Balak Haisa, meaning going up in the generations, we see that she was a descendant of Balak. So that was the reward that he had, the descendant of Rus, which out of her came David, and then Shlaima, which was this concept of Mitech Shalei Lishma Balishma. So the Gemara's question is, we see that reward of the 42 karbanas was not curses for the Jewish people for 42 children being killed, but rather his reward was actually an altruistic, a spiritual reward, was that he got to the Lishma of Karbanos. So why are we saying that it was this? So the Gemara answers, well, there's more than one component in what he did. Ultimately, his desire was, when he was bringing those 42 Karbanos, was to curse the Jewish people. He actually wanted to diminish the Jewish people, and because he didn't want them to come and make their forward towards Eretz Yisrael, and that intention was fulfilled over here. So yes, the action of the Karbanos was a Shalei Lishma, which ultimately brought to Lishma through Shlomo, his descendant, but besides the action, it was this Kavan, this intent, he wanted to curse the Jewish people, and those 42 Karbanos was ultimately fulfilled in the death of these 42 children. Now, again, continuing in this parasha over there in Sefer Malachim with the incident with Elisha, so the Gemara goes back earlier in the Pesukim over there, where this incident happened when he was leaving Yericho. When he was still in the city, it says, Vayemru anshei ha'ir el Elisha, the people of the city said to Elisha, Hine na moisha v'ir toiv, kasha adoni roya v'goymer, like behold, the settlement of the city is good, like my master sees, etc. Where actually the pasuk continues and says over there, and this is Malachim Beis, Perek Beis pasuk Yitzeh, it says, V'amayim rom, the water is bad, V'aretz mishakeles, and the land causes missing, causes a dearth. Now the question is, V'chim ha'achar demayim rom, V'aretz mishakeles, what are they telling him? If they're ending off their sentence by saying that the water is bad, and that's what the whole incident came, that where those kids were bothering Elisha because he actually fixed the water. The water is bad, the earth is mishakelis, the land is bad. Say, what exactly is the goodness about the place since you have Mayim Ram and earth mishakelis? So why are they saying it that it's good? So Amr Chanan, he says, what this teaches us is that chein mokum al yeshavav. The grace, the favor of a place is on those who live on it. Even if it's bad, to them it looks like it's good. You're used to this, the place, you're used to where you're living. And that's why they said, look, it's a good place, even though it's actually pretty bad. So to Umar B'Yechanan, he says, there are three types of favoritism that there is. You have this favor of the person who lives in a certain place regarding that place. You have chein isha, you have the grace of a woman that's constantly al baila regarding her husband, even if she's ugly, still she finds favor in his eyes. And chein mekech amikachai, you have the grace of a purchase that's on the one who bought it. This is, he likes it, and that's obviously why he bought it, even though it's nothing too great. Continuing on this theme with Elisha, the Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanu, we learned in the Braisa, shloisha chaloin chal Elisha. There were three illnesses that Elisha had in his lifetime. Echad, shigir daven betinekis. One was because of the sin that he caused the bears to attack the children. Ve'echad shedachafa legechazi b'shtei yadayim. Another sickness was because he had pushed and rejected his servant Gechazi with two hands, meaning a total rejection of him. And ve'echad shemesboi. And the third illness was the one that he died from. Shnemek says a pasuk Malachim Beis says ve'elisha chala es chal ye'asha yamesboi. That Elisha, that he was sick with the illness that he died with, where the term chala means one sickness, es chalya is another sickness, and when it says asher yamesboi is the third sickness, that which he died from. So continue on this theme, the Gemara says, Tan Rabban Lina Braisa, La'ilam te'ismel doicha v'yimin mikareves, a person should always reject with his left hand, but bring closer with his right hand. Means to say that if someone's doing something wrong, that although you have to reject and push away with your left hand, but you have to bring closer, that's the stronger hand, with the right hand. As the Gemara explains, loy kelisha shedachofe legechazi b'shtei yadav, not like Elisha, who rejected his servant Gechazi with two hands, and loy ki Yeshua ben Parachia, and neither like the Tanur Yeshua ben Parachia shedachofe leechem mitamidav, who rejected one of his students, which it's brought down that that's was censored, but that's Yeshua Hanoitzri b'shtei yadav, who rejected his student with two hands. So the Gemara explains, Elisha mahi, what is this a reference of Elisha? Like it says, the pasuk Malachim Beis says, "V'yoyimen Naaman," that Naaman said to Gehazi after he was healed by Elisha, and Elisha refused to take any payment from the king, from Naaman. So Naaman, after Gehazi ran back to Naaman, telling him that Elisha reconsidered, he wanted the payment. So Naaman said to Gehazi, "So hail, if that's the case, kach kikarayim, take these two talents of silver." Now, uksiv, and so it says, "V'yoyimen Elav." So Elisha said to Gehazi, Loy libi halach, what my heart didn't go with you, Kasha hafach ish mi'amar kavti likrasecha, that when the man, meaning a reference to Naaman, got off of his chariot to go towards you and to give you all this stuff. Ha'es lakachas es akesev lakachas begadim. Do you think now is the time to take silver and to take garments? And v'zeisim ekramim and olives and from vineyards, b'tzoy nuvaker and the cattle and the flock, v'avod meshvaches and maidservants and of slaves, well, against my will. What are you doing over here doing this double standard? I said I didn't want to take, and here you go running back and you're taking all these gifts. Now the Gemara wonders, umi shakel kuli hai? Did Gehazi really take all these things? Because if you look at the pasuk that was just mentioned, it mentions eight different things. Kesef begadim, tzayinu bakra, avad meshvachis, zeisim akramim. Question is, kesef begadim hu deshakel, like the earlier pasuk brought, it's only silver and garments that he took, which is, as the pasuk there says, v'yitze kikarim kesef b'shnei charitim, he took the silver, and shtei chalivis begadim, and two changes of clothing. So why did Elisha mention eight? So Amar Yitzchak says the reference is because ba'isis shah ha'yelisha isik b'shmein ha'shratim. At that time, Elisha was involved in learning what's called Perek Shmein Shratzim, which is a sugi mesechta Shabbos daf kav zayin. So, which is regards to the eight types of vermin, the ones that are transmit tuma. So Amaloi, so when he was learning this, he said to Gehazi, Rasha, wicked one, Higia eis litl schar, you're taking payment from Naaman. Now has come the time for you to take your reward and your payment for your Torah learning, which was the reference of the Shmein Shratzim, in this world, which is Shmein Shratzim, and that's why we mentioned eight different things, for what we're learning, which is eight, you're taking your payment now in this world. Now, moreover, the Pasuk says, V'tzaras Naaman tidbak bach, he told him that that tzaras that we healed Naaman will attach itself to you, uv'tzarach lo'aylam, and your children forever. Now, a later Pasuk says, V'arba'ah anoshim hoy mitzaram, that there were four men that were mitzaram. So Amar Bichan explains, this is the fulfillment of the curse of Elisha, Zeh Gehazi u'Shleishas Banim, that's a reference, who are these four people? It's Gehazi and his three sons. Now, a later Pasuk says, and the gear says, Vayavay or Vayelech, Vayavay Elisha, domestic. Elisha came to domestic. So the question is, Lama Halach, why did he go to domestic? So Amar Bichan and Shahalach lachzir li Gehazi b'tshuva v'lechazi. He went to be Chose b'tshuva to bring back and repentance to his student Gehazi, and he didn't do tshuva. Amalai, that Elisha had said to him, Chazar b'ch, return to you. Amalai, so Gehazi responded to his Rebbe, Kach mekublani mimcha, this is what I receive from you as a tradition. Kol mishachata v'yachdeh sarabim, whoever sinned and caused the public to sin, ein maspikim miyadu lasa tshuva, they don't allow him the opportunity to do repentance. So therefore, what's the point? I'm not doing tshuva. Now the question is, Mayava, what did he do that he was chayti, and then he was not only that he sinned, as in that incident, but he was machti sarabim? Sekadarmi, there are those that say that evin shay eves, which literally means, say, a drawing stone, which is a type of a magnet that pulls metal up from the ground. Talaloy lachatas yiravim. He had this magnet that kept the animal, the calf of yiravim, suspended because it was magnetic field. V'amidim in shemayim loretz. And he had this calf that was suspended between heaven and earth, and it looked like it was some type of a god, chas v'shalom. Vigadamri, there are those that say, Shem Chokug La'apuma, actually what he did was that he put Hashem's name carved in the mouth of that calf, which was made by Yeravim, V'haysoi Meris, and it was saying, Anoichi V'lo Yilach, it was saying, like the first two of the Seres Adibra, saying, as if I am Hashem, and there shouldn't be for you a graven image. This is what the animal was saying because of what Gehazi had put from Hashem's name in his mouth. Again, being not only a sin, but causing the Jewish people to sin, thinking that there is some type of powers to this calf. Vikadami, that those that say, that Rabbanon docha mikameh, this that he had caused others to sin was because he had pushed away the students before Elisha when he was his shamish, when he attended him, he pushed away some of the students, some of the rabbis. Like it says in the Pasuk, after that he had been removed from his post, after he left from serving Elisha, Pasuk says in Melachim Beis, the Yemer b'nei Hanavim el Elisha, that the young prophets said to Elisha, Hinei no hamokam asher nachnu yeshem sham lefanecha. Now behold, this place that we sit in front of you, tzar mimenu, it's very tight. Now this was because after that there was an increase in students who had been rejected by Gehazi. So as the Gemara says, Machlal dara idno lo havadochi, that must be that up until now there wasn't tight space because Gehazi had pushed them away. That was machdi esterabim. So that's a reference to Elisha. Ask the Gemara, Yeshua ben Parachi, Mahi, what was the reference of Yeshua ben Parachi that he pushed away his student with two hands, a total rejection, which a person should not do? So the Gemara says, Kedahava kokotl yani malkal rabban. When Yani HaMelech was killing all the Talmudic scholars, as the Gemara references in Masechet Kedushin Daf Samach Vav Mem Aleph, so Shimon ben Shetach itminu achse. So Shimon ben Shetach was the sister, was the brother of Yani HaMelech's wife. So his sister went and hid him. Rabbi Shua ben Parachia, he was Azal Ark L'Alexandria Mitzrayim. He went and he fled to Alexandria in Mitzrayim, in Egypt. Now, Ke'av Shlomo, when there was peace, when Yani HaMelech stopped killing out all the Rabbanon, so Shalach Le'Shim B'Shetach, so Shim B'Shetach, who was in Yerushalayim, and he saw that there's no more threat anymore, so he sent to Rabbi Shua ben Parachia, Mini Yerushalayim Yerakadosh, from me in Yerushalayim, the holy city, Loch Alexandria Shem Mitzrayim, to you who you're in Alexandria in Egypt, Achaisi, my sister, Bali, my master, Shar B'Seichich, rest amongst you, because Yeshua ben Parachia was referencing as the Baal, because he was the Nasi, as the Gemara says, Masechet Chagiga, Daf Tezaim and Beis. V'ani Yoshev Hashemem, and I am sitting here desolate, in other words, because there you are, you're the Nasi, but you're not here, and I'm here in Yerushalayim, all desolate. So, when Yeshua ben Parachia got this letter, Amar, he said, Shema Minah, Havalei Shlomo, must be that there's peace already in Yerushalayim. So Kiasa, when he was on his way, making his way back from Alexandria to Yerushalayim, Ikla Lahu Shpiza, on the way, he stopped in a place where they hosted him. Come Kamayu Biikra Shapir, they stood up for him and they treated him with utmost respect. Avidla Yikra Tuva, they did for him a lot of things in high regard. Now Yasav Kamash Tabech, so Rabbi Shimon Barach was sitting and he was praising the hostess. Kamanach San Yezu, how beautiful is this hostess, meaning in her actions, how noble she is and how righteous she is. Now, Amalei Echem Itamidu, however, one of Rabbi Shimon Parachia's students said to him, who again, the reference is, it's brought over here in from that which was censored out, that this was Yeshua HaNoitzri, that he said, Rebbe, my master, Einer Trutis, why are you saying that she's so beautiful, but she has round eyes, which is it's a circle type of eyes, which is not so beautiful. So Amalei, Rabbi Shimon Parachia said to him, Rasha, wicked one, Bekacha Ta'oisik, it's in regards to this that you're involved, that you're gazing at married women? Apik arba mei shipuri, so he took out 400 shayfris bishamte, and he excommunicated him. Now, kol yayma osle kameh, every single day the student would come to Rabbi Shimon Parachia, v'le kibble, and Rabbi Shimon Parachia refused to receive him. Yayma chad, have a kokari krishma, one day Rabbi Shimon Parachia was saying krishma, and osle kameh, again this student comes in front of him. Have a bedaiti le kibble, the Gemara tells us that it was at this time that he intended to accept him back. However, since he was in the middle of saying Krishma, he made with his hands to show him that he's going to accept him. However, this student thought that he was rejecting him. Azal Zakov Levintus, he went and he stood up a brick, and Palch, and he bowed down, and he started serving and worshipping this brick. So Amalei Chazaybach. So Rabbi Shimon Parachia said to this student, repent. Amalei, so the student said, Kach mikablani memcha, this is what I receive from you. Kalachayti yamachti yasarabim, whoever sins and causes the public to sin, Ema speaking miyadi lasa tshuva, they don't give him the opportunity to do repentance. Damamar, like the master says, that, and again the reference here is that Yeshua HaNoitzi was kishiv, he practiced sorcery, vehasis, he also enticed, vidiach, and he pushed, and he caused the sin as he saw the Jewish people. So again, he was a chayti machtis rabbim, and therefore the student said, there's no hope for me, and therefore I'm not repenting. Now, similarly on this theme about that a person shouldn't totally reject someone that's sinning, Tanya learned the braisa. Rabbi Shimon ben Allah Zahim, he says, following three things, yetzer, a person's inclination, and tinik, a child, the isha and the woman, teismil deicha, only the left hand, the weaker hand, should be pushing them away, but the right hand, which is a strong one, should be bringing them closer. In other words, when they talk about the inclination, it means of cohabitation, that the right hand should bring it closer, which means that a person shouldn't be totally revolted with being fruitful and multiplying, which is the yetzer of tashmish, because that's a necessary thing. So to regarding children, if you totally push them away, the child might run away and totally and kill himself. And regarding a woman, she's also someone that a situation might happen that if she gets pushed away, she's going to run away and go out and engage in inappropriate things. So therefore, again, these three things, a person should only push away with the left hand, but bring closer with the right hand. Now, continuing on the theme of this perek, continuing on the topic of Egla Rufa, the Mishnah says, Nimtza ha-hoirig achle nerfa ha-gola. That if, let's say, the one who actually murdered this person was found before they decapitated the calf. So that the Mishnah says, Tetzi v'ter be'eder. So then the calf goes out and grazes with the flock, in other words, like a regular chulin, unconsecrated type of an animal. Now, as Rashi points out, that obviously the Tanna of our Mishnah does not hold of what's mentioned many times, that the, as other opinions hold, that the Egla Rufa becomes forbidden, meaning it's considered already like Kachim, even when it's still alive, because just coming down to the Nachal Esan, to the valley, is what makes it forbidden, as the Gemara brings in Masechtas Krisis, that this is actually Machlekes Tannaim. So therefore, the Tanna of our Mishnah holds that no, only when it's decapitated does it get that status, but if you find the murderer before then there's no necessity for the Egla Rufa, because that's only brought when you don't know who murdered him. Now, however, Mishnerfa Hagola, but if, let's say, the calf was already decapitated, and then they found the murderer, then Tikavu b'mkayma, then the calf is buried in its place, which is as the Egla Rufa is done. And the reason is, Shal Safik Basa Mitchalasa, because why was it originally brought? Because of the situation of doubt. We don't know who the murderer was. Now, Kipra Sveka, so that doubt has been atoned for, Vahochalan, that's done. In other words, the Egla Rufa did what it had to do. Now, in other words, if, let's say, the murderer is never found, so that doubt now is atoned for with the Egla Rufa. Now, even if the person is found who murdered him, so then you do what's done when you know who murdered him, which is then you kill the murderer. However, that Isser Hana that applies to any Kudshim, any carbon, which applies similarly to the Egla Rufa, is fulfilled, because that is what's necessary in that situation when it was a situation of doubt. And since it says the term of kapara, atonement, by the Egla Rufa, just like by Kachem, which provides atonement, just like over there, there's Isana, here also it's considered Isana. So therefore, as the Mishnah says, Nerfa Gola, Valkach, Limsa Harik, if let's say they already decapitated the calf, and then they find the murderer, Hareze Yaharik. Again, the Egla Rufa fulfilled its mission then over there. And moreover, even though you did the Egla Rufa and you provided for the atonement, that's only for the doubtful situation. Now that you know who murdered him, you now execute the murderer. Now the Mishnah continues and says that, as we said, that the concept of Egla Rufa is when it's a situation of doubt. Now, however, now the Mishnah says regarding complications about if it's a doubtful situation, if we know who murdered him or not. As the Mishnah explains, Eid Echad Oimer Re'isi Asarik. If let's say one witness says, I saw the murderer, but one witness says, no, you did not see the murderer. Or let's say, Isha Meres Re'isi. A woman says, I saw the murderer. Ve'isha Meres Re'isi. Another woman says, you did not see the murderer. And the significant concept over here is regarding believing a woman, who's usually considered psuli edis. But either way, the Mishnah says, Hoyo Arfin. They would still do the procedure of the Egla Rufa, of the decapitating the calf, because each one cancels each other out. It's one against one, so you're back again to the situation of doubt. Was the murderer seen or not? And since we don't know, so out of Suffolk, we do the Egla Rufa. Let's say, let's say one witness says, I saw the murderer. And two witnesses contradict him and say, you didn't see. And for sure, then we're going to do the Egla Rufa, because two for sure is overpowering one, and we consider it like he didn't see, and again, we don't know who the murderer was, so that's why we do the Egla Rufa. Let's say shnayim oimim re'inu. Let's say two witnesses say, we saw the murderer. But one person says, it can't be. I was there when you were there, and you did not see the murderer. Then loy hayarfin. Then they would not do the Egla Rufa. And the reason is because that they do know who murdered him. So even though that person's not here, we don't know where he is to be able to execute him. But since they know who murdered him, because again, we believe two versus the one, and two say, we saw the murderer. So therefore, then you don't do the procedure of the Egla Rufa. And the Mishnah continues in a related vein that Mishrabah Haritzchanan, that when there was an increase in murderers, Butla Egla Rufa, the procedure of the Egla Rufa was stopped. And the reason being is because people knew who the murderers were already, because these are the people that constantly murder. So therefore, again, for the same concept is when you know who's murdering, then you don't do the procedure of the Egla Rufa. In a similar vein, Mishabah Eliezer, and so the Mishnah actually qualifies that Mishabah Eliezer ben Dinai, this was when was there an increase in murderers? When Eliezer ben Dinoi came, who he was a notorious murderer. Now, the Mishnah just says, V'tchinda ben Prisha ha-yinikr. He was actually called, he had changed his name, he went under a different name of Tchinda ben Prisha, but Chaz l'kreise ben Haratzim, and they figured out that he's the same person, they called him the murderer's son. Again, in a similar vein about this concept of when there was an increase, then they would stop the procedure. It says, Mishra Rabu Hamanafim, when there was an increase in adulterers, Pasku Hamayim Amar, so then the bitter water procedure, what's called the Meisaita, was stopped. Now, Rabbi Yechim Etzakev Sikin, Rabbi Yechim Etzakev was one who stopped it. And the reason is, Shanim, like it says, Apostle in Hosea, it says, Loi Efkoid Al B'nei Sechem Kisiz Nena, I will not pay heed to your daughters when they act immorally. And when regarding your daughter-in-laws, when they engage in adultery, and the reason is that why is it that Hashem is not going to pay attention to inspect regarding when these men's women's are mizana? The reason is because a first of all that as we'll see in the Gemara, the daughters and the daughter-in-laws are being mizana. And moreover, is that even the men themselves, as the pasuk concludes, im hazoinis yifaredu, they themselves, like these pradim, like the horses or other interpretation of the pasuk, that they themselves are menaf, are adulterers. So if they themselves, the men, are not watching themselves, so even though the women are also not engaging in fidelity, the procedure of meisaita will not work. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai stopped the procedure of the Mayim Amar. So the Mishameis Yisi ben Ye'ezah ish Tzreda, the Yisi ben Yehuda ish Yerushalayim, when these two, Tamid HaChacham, were nifter, when they passed away, batlu ha'eshkoilis, so then eshkoilis had stopped, which the Gemara explains, eshkoilis actually is a reference to the word shahakoil bohen, that there's everything in these types of people, meaning these are people that are complete type of people. In other words, because up until these two tzaddikim, there was no disagreement in the sages of the Jewish people. And that is because every Talmud HaChacham said exactly as it was received, the Messiah from Moshe Rabbeinu from Har Sinai. Now, they were the first ones that had a disagreement, which was, as the Gemara says, the Masechet Chagigah Daf Tazayin Amud Aleph, regarding, is there smicha, does a person lean on his carbon on Yom Tov? And that was the first machlekes in the words of Torah in the Jewish people. So Shanim, like it says the Pasuk in Micha, that there's this concept of eshkoilis, it says, ein eshkoil lechel, there's no literally cluster to eat, Bikur if sanavshi, the first ripe fig is that my soul desires. Again, that is a reference over there to a tzaddik passing away. And we see that they're called Eshkol. And why they're called Eshkol is because it's the acronym of Shahakol Bay. There's everything in this people. But once they passed away, then there was an increase in Machloikas. So to Yechon Kohen Gadol about stopping things. Yechon Kohen Gadol, Hever Havidoyis HaMaisa, he stopped the recitation of Vidoy Maisris, which is that they stopped saying Biarta Kodesh Minabayas, as the Gemara explained, the reason why he stopped that recital, because it was something that they were not fulfilling anymore. Which again, Vidoy Maisris, when a person gets rid of all the Maisris, the tenth, the tithes that he has to give, and then finally in the third year he does, so then he says this confession. Afu Bitales HaMa'irin, he also stopped the wakers, the Besanikfin, and the strikers, which again, the Gemara is going to explain what these are. Now, continue on to Amud Beis, where the Mishnah says, so to Ad Yamav, until the days of Yechon HaKohen Gadol, ha yupatish makeh b'Yerushalayim, there was the hammer that was striking in Yerushalayim, meaning in the blacksmith's store, even in Chol HaMoed, which is permitted because of Davar Avid, because of a loss, which is permitted then, but he got up and he stopped the smiths from doing this, even for a loss, for a Davar Avid. The reason being is because they make a lot of noise and they're heard very far. And not everybody knows that it's being done for a davar avid, as the Gemara explains as a ma'ikotin, daf yad alef and alef. And also, ubiyamav ainet tzarech lishal al demai. In his days, no one had to ask regarding demai, which literally means to say demai, what's the status of this produce. In other words, if it's maiser or not, because he instituted that whoever purchases produce from an amaretz, from an ignoramus, has to give off maises, and therefore there was no point of asking because you knew automatically that you had to go off and take maiser, which is what we call demai. So Tarban Lenda Braisa that explains the halacha that we mentioned in the Mishnah, Minayin Shim Nerfaha Agala, from where do we know that if the calf was already decapitated, which on some level was an atonement for this person that was found murdered, but if later the murderer is found, Shein Poiteres Oisa, we don't just let him go to say, well, you already atoned for the death. No, that we actually executed him, Tamalayim, the Pasuk Tishim Amidbar that says, because the land will not be atoned for the blood that was spilled in it, only with the blood that spilled it. In other words, until the murderer is brought to justice. Now the Mishnah said, what do you do if there's contradictions in if we know the murderer or not? So the Mishnah said, if let's say one witness says that I saw the murderer, another witness says you didn't see. So again, they neutralize each other. So you're back to the suffix. We don't know who murdered him. So then you bring the egla rufa. Now, the Gemara makes an inference. The reason why we don't believe the one witness who says I saw the murderer to say, okay, don't do the egla rufa because it's known, is because only another witness refuted him. But the inference is, but if there was no other witness refuting him, sounds like from the Mishnah that one witness would be believed to say that the murderer is known and therefore you wouldn't do the procedure of egla rufa. So the Gemara is not immediately from where do we know this from? Because again, generally in halacha you need two witnesses. So the Tanabon, like we learn the Braisa, the Pasuk says, that we don't know who murdered him. So on that the Braisa says, but if it's known who murdered him, even if only one person at the end of the world knows who murdered him, then they wouldn't do the procedure of egla rufa. Now moreover, Rabbi Akiva, he says, minayin l'Sanhedrin, from where do we know that if the Sanhedrin, shiro echad shaharges a nefesh, let's say the courts saw a person murdering someone, they might kirin oisa, but they just don't recognize him, shlohoy orphan, that they wouldn't do the procedure of egla rufa. Tamalayma, that's what Pasuk teaches, that the rabbis say, ve'einenu leiro, and our eyes did not see, v'haleiro, and they saw. So therefore, although they don't know him, and he's away somewhere out in the world, and they can't execute him, but since they had seen him, therefore, they don't do the procedure of the egla rufa. Now, the Gemara asks, Hashtu da amr eirach mem, so now that you're saying that one witness is believed, then the question actually becomes, how do we understand the halacha of the Mishnah? Idach chad heichi motzi makishle, then how, if we said based on the pasuk, we believe one witness, then how does this, if a different witness comes and refutes him and says, no, you did not see the murderer, how does that neutralize the first witness? But va'ama ula, but ula says, and as Rashi points out, that we already had this sugya on the flamet al from a beis, which Rashi says the same thing, and there it's explained in greater detail regarding the sugya. The question is as follows. Ula says, kal mokim shemin etari erechad, wherever the Torah believes one witness, hari kan shnayim, we view him as if he's the status, as if he's two witnesses. Vein dvar v'shalecha b'mokim shnayim, and therefore the question is, we don't believe one witness when he comes to refute two witnesses. So therefore here the first witness is like two, that he saw the murderer. How does one person saying you didn't see the murderer neutralize him and therefore back to the state of suffix, and therefore we bring the egla rufa? So Amalach Ula, so you're right. Ula would tell you that you're right. Tani, actually you should learn the Girsa in our Mishnah, that loy ha-yarfin, that actually if you have one witness saying that he saw the murderer, another one saying that you did not see, you actually would not do the egla rufa procedure because we do believe the first one like two and we don't believe the second one. And v'chein am Reb Yitzchak, so Reb Yitzchak says, Tani, you should learn in the Girsa in the Mishnah, lo ha-yarfin. But Reb Chiya Amar, he says, no, Tani, that you'll have the Girsa like we have in our Mishnah, that ha-yarfin, that they would do the egla rufa. Now that the question is, as the Gemara points out, well, Reb Chiya kasher de Ula. According to Reb Chiya, you have the difficulty of Ula, where if the Torah is believing the first person like two, how do we then go ahead and have the second one witness refute and reject and neutralize the first two witnesses? So the Gemara says, like kasher, it's not a difficulty. Because Khan, our Mishnah, is talking about Bevas Achas, where both of those one witnesses come at the same time. Then we never established yet the criterion as if the first one's like two. It's only once we believe him, then he's like two. But up until we do, we have one versus one. They neutralize each other. Therefore, you're going to do the Egla Rufa. Khan, in Ula's case, is Bezacharzeh, when they're subsequent. When you have the first one coming and we believe him, then he's like two. When he leaves and another one comes, then he's like one versus two. And then we won't believe the second one. Now, however, the Gemara continues to ask on this interpretation of Reb Chiya. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah that said, Eid echad oim reisi es aharig, if one witness says that I saw the murderer, v'shnayim oim reisi, and two witnesses say that you did not see him, so then hayo arfin. Then they would do the procedure of the egla rufa, because two say you didn't see, so therefore they're for sure rejecting and neutralizing that one who says that I did see. So since no one had seen, because we believe the second two, so then we do the egla rufa. Now, the inference is, only because two rejected him and said you didn't see. Hachad v'chad loy hari orphan. But the inference is that if only one person came to refute the first one, that then we would believe the first one that said he saw the murder, and we would not do the procedure with egla rufa. So to yuftad Reb Chiya, that's a refutation of Reb Chiya's interpretation, who he said that even when you have chad v'chad, that you would do the egla rufa. So now the Gemara responds, well, Taimeich, according to your reasoning that you're asking from Reb Chiya from the inferences of the Mishnah that seems to contradict Reb Chiya, Ema Sefer. So then Rav Chi would respond to you, look at the Sefer, the Mishnah. Shnaim, I'm Re'inu, if two people say that we saw the murderer, Ve'edachar Ema Le'isim, and one witness says that you did not see the murderer. So then, lo ha'ya arfim, then you would not do the arifa because you don't believe one when he contradicts two, and two said that they saw the murderer. Now, if you're saying that the halachas of the Mishnah are pretty obvious, and therefore must be that they're only being said for their inferences, as this is elaborated in Rashi in that Sugya Daf Lamed Aleph, so that's how you're asking from Rav Chiya from the inference, well, then this halacha would also be pretty straightforward. So rather, it would be said for its inference, which is hachad v'chad ha'ya arfim. Which sounds like, but then it would be telling you that if the first one who is saying that they saw the murder would be only one person, and that the second one would also be one person, that then they would do the Egla Rufa, which is like Reb Chiya, which is not like the inference of the first halacha you mentioned, which would be a contradiction in its own right. So therefore, Ella Rav, the Gemara explains, which resolves the question on Reb Chiya, and it also resolves the seemingly contradictory inferences, that actually these halachas in the Mishnah are said for them for their own right, not for the inferences, because they're actually contradictory inferences. But the question was, they're pretty straightforward halachas, why would they need to be said? And that the answer is no, because masdin kula b'psuli edus. Actually, these halachas that are being mentioned are necessary to teach you their inherent own chiddush, because we're talking about that the witnesses are people that are generally invalid to be witnesses. Okay, Reb Nechemya, like it's elaborated by Reb Nechemya Da'amah that he says, wherever the Torah believes one witness, which is actually the context of our sugya, which we just explained on the top of this amid, that one witness is believed to say that he saw the murderer. So then, we actually go after the majority of opinions. And that's who holds sway in deciding the equation. Now, therefore, hence, in such a situation, the halacha considers two women that are contradicting one man, where although generally the women are invalid, they're psuli edus, and the man is kosher, they considered kishnia noshim b'ish echad as if it was an equation, because we don't care if it's male, female, kosher witness, invalid witness, as if it's two men versus one. And therefore, that's actually what the halachas of the Mishnah are saying, that we believe the two versus the one. What do you mean? Of course. And therefore, we throw it for the inference. It's not, of course, because the two that we're believing are actually women who are generally psuli edus, and we believe them over the one man. Because, again, we do believe the one man, but whenever we believe one man, we also believe psuli edus too, and we actually go with the greater quantity of whichever side has more. Now, the Ikedami, actually, there are those that have a slightly different version of this halacha of Nechemya, that says that, no, kol echad da'asa eid echad kasha mikar, wherever that, yes, although we're believing one witness, but if the first one that came was a kosher witness, meaning a man, that's kosher, afila mayin noshim ki echadamin, then we would consider even 100 women like one person. And hence, actually the first one that comes is like considered like two, and we would not believe the 100 women to contradict that first man. Now, so rather, v'halchad ma'iskinis, then what are we talking about over here, like in our sugya, that we are believing the two women versus the one? It's kagoyin da'asoy isha meikar, that actually the one that came first, that we're going to believe the two to reject that one, is that first a woman came. So although we're believing a woman, we believe psuli edus in these situations, but v'tartzol Reb Nechemya hachi. So you have to explain the halacha of Reb Nechemya a little bit different. That Reb Nechemya, I mean, he says, kamakam shemina tarayir echad, wherever the Torah believed one witness, halach achar Reb Deis, so then we go after the majority of opinions, which is v'asur shtei noshim be'isha achas. This is where this version varies, that we made two women versus one woman, kishtea noshim b'ish echad, how it is usually when you have two men versus one man, that is, we believe the two versus the one. Avashtei noshim b'ish echad, but however, this version holds that if it's two women versus one man, ki palga, palga, I mean, they would be like 50-50, we would not necessarily believe the women versus the man. And again, therefore, based on that halacha from Nechemya, we can understand the halachas in this Mishnah, which again, the inferences are not contradictory because they're not being said for their inferences. And also, moreover, they're not a rejection of the opinion of Reb Chiya to, so to speak, prove that if it was one versus one, that you wouldn't do the Arifa. No, you actually would, because we believe the first one like two, and then you have the next one, which, again, we don't believe. Now, the Gemara wonders, v'tarti b'psuli edus lamali. So, again, if that's how you define the case of the Mishnah, why do we need the last two cases mentioned that, yeah, we're believing two versus one? So we wondered, of course, that's obvious. So we thought in the Havamina that it's being said for their inferences. But if it was not two versus one, rather one versus one, then the halacha would be as follows. Now that you tell me that we need it for the halacha itself, why do we need two cases of believing two psuli edis versus the one. Again, depending on the two versions of Nechemiah, either that one is a kosher one man or a regular woman, and you have the two versus the one woman you're believing. Why do we need two cases? So the Gemara says, because in Ma'od Tema, we would have thought to say, Ki azlina basar reb dais, when do we have this halacha of Nechemiah? That we go by the majority of opinions. That even though those majority are psuli edis, like women, that would be only l'chumra, that would be only as a stringency. Meaning when the two women are saying, the one woman says, I saw the murderer, and the two women are saying, you did not see. So then that's a stringency, because now that we're believing the two versus the one, we consider as if no one saw the murderer, and then you have to do the procedure egla rufa. It's a stringency. But as a leniency, in other words, if let's say the two women are saying that we did see the murderer, and we believe them versus the one who says that you did not see, which comes out of leniency, that since they claim they saw that you don't do the procedure egla rufa, maybe there we would not go after Rav Deis. And that's why we needed the other case to say that even in such a case, we would leave the two versus the one, even though it comes out like a leniency. And again, therefore, there's no rejection of the opinion of Rav Chiya, which is actually like the Girsa in our Mishnah, that they would do the procedure of the egla rufa when you have the one versus the one, not like how it was amended by Ula and Rabbi Yitzchak. Now the Mishnah then said, "Misherabu haroitzchem b'chulu," that when there was an increase in murderers, then they stopped the procedure of the egla rufa. So Tarnabon learned the Braisa, which elaborates on this, and says, "Misherabu haroitzchem," when there was an increase in murderers, but le egla rufa, they stopped the procedure of the egla rufa. Why? Because the whole concept of egla rufa is only because of the doubt that's inherent, because they don't know who murdered him. But now we know who murders people, because Misherabu haroitzchem b'chulu, once people started openly killing people, but like a rufa, so we stopped egla rufa because we know who the murderers are. We might just not be able to bring them to justice. Now the Mishnah said, Misherabah ha-noifin, so too when there was an increase in adulterers, so then they stopped the procedure of the Mayim Amorim, of the procedure of the Meisaita. So Tanabon, when the Braisa explains this, the Pasuk of Bamidbar says, Benikaha ishmi oven, that the man, when he brings his wife to the whole procedure of the Meisaita, then he will be cleansed from sin. Whereas the Pasuk there concludes in Parakeh, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Vaisha hiti says avoyna, however, the woman will carry her sin. So explains the Braisa, Bizman she ish menuka me'oven, as we can see from the sequence of the pasuk, when the man is cleansed from sin, meaning from the sin of adultery with a woman that's forbidden to him, whether with this wife of his that had been secluded who he's forbidden to, or whether with other women, then the pasuk concludes, Hamayim boitken es ish, then the water is going to inspect his wife. But if ein ish menukam oven, but if the man himself is not cleansed from sin, if he himself is a sinner, ein amayim boitken es ishtei, then the water is not going to inspect his wife. And va'im so too, like it says the pasuk in Hosea, says lo efkid al b'nei seichem ki siznen v'chulu, that I will not check regarding your daughters when they're being mezana, etc. So the Gemara says, my va'im, what is being added on from this pasuk? We already know from the first pasuk that they themselves have to be cleansed from sin. So on that, the Gemara explains, and because if you're going to say, oven di day in, yes, his own sinning will preclude the function of the meisaita. But the b'nei v'debon say, but regarding his sons and daughters, if they are adulterers, then loy, that would not withhold the function of his wife being inspected by the meisaita. Tashema, that's what the pasuk Neshe adds on. No, that loy efkrit. I will not watch over to inspect your wives. What's the reason? That's what the pasuk says. Al b'nei seichem ki siznen, because of your daughters that are being mezana. Val kalei seichem ki sinafen, regarding your daughter-in-laws that they're committing adultery. So it's even one's own children. If they're not cleansed from sin, the meisaita won't work for their mother. Now, moreover, v'chitema oven eshes ish in. Now, you might think that's only if there's a sin that's committed with a married woman. But oven de penui loy. But if the sin is committed with a single woman, a woman that's not married, then that would not withhold the validity. Tashema, that's what the pasuk concludes over there. Kihem im azoynis yifareidu, because they go out with the zoynis, v'makadeshis abeichu, v'goyim, etc., which is even any woman that acts immorally, even if she's not married. Now, the Gemara asks, my, what does the pasuk mean when it ends? V'am lo yavin, that the not understanding people you love it will stumble. So Amr Balazi says, what does it mean that they don't understand? Because Amr lehem novel Yisrael, the prophet says to the Jewish people, Im atem makpidim al atzmachem, if you're particularly careful regarding yourselves, then mayim boitken es shaseichem, then the water will inspect your wives. Them lav, but if not, if you yourself, as the pasuk says, are being mazana, or your daughters or your sons, in hamayim boitkim neshasechem, then the ward is not going to work to inspect your wives from the suspected adultery. Moreover, continuing on this theme, mishirabu bali hano, when there was an increase in people seeking pleasure, nisavso adinan, then judgment became perverted. And the reason being is because since they're bali hano, so they don't want to exert themselves to analyze and to look into the halachic requirements of the judgments to paskin for people. And because of that, moreover, niskalkul amaisim, so then now all the people's actions started becoming ruined. And because of that, ve'in noich ba'ilam, now there's no ruach, there's no pleasing aroma for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, and so too from the world from Hashem, because of that people seeking comfort in the world. Moreover, Mishrabu Roy Fun Benin, when there was an increase in favoritism and judgment, so then that nullified the commandment of Loisaguru, that you shouldn't be afraid of anyone that's a litigant as a judge. Upasak Loisakiru, that also stopped people fulfilling the mitzvah that you shouldn't show favoritism and judgment. Uparka Ol Shemaim, and then people started throwing off the yoke of heaven. And instead of Avanasno Leim, Ol Basabadam, they put now the yoke of man on themselves, because of trying to curry favor from these people. Moreover, Mishrabu Leichshe Lechishes Bedin, when there was an increase in whisperers in court cases, meaning these are references to lawyers who whispered to the judges to find some merit for their client and to find some type of fault with the other litigant. Rabba Charein Af B'Yisrael. So this caused an increase in anger in the Jewish people, because as the Pasuk says, Moischav Beis, that slanting the judgment causes anger, where it says im ani ta'ani, etc. V'chara api, my anger will flare up, and in the stalka shchina, and the divine presence removes itself. Mishum shenema, like it says in the pasig, where it says elikim nitza b'das kel, that God stands in the assembly of the Jewish people. Now, when is that? That's when bekerav elikim yishpoit. That's at the time when amongst them there's going to be judgment. But again, because there's a perversion of judgment, so therefore the divine presence removes itself. Now the Gemara continues, Mishirabu, when there was an increase, as the Pasuk says, Nechezkel, of Achrei Bitza, that after their money, where they seek pleasure, Libam Hoylich, then their heart goes. Once that happened, was Rabu Aimrim, then there was an increase of people who said, as the Pasuk says, Nishaya, L'ra Taiv, they called bad good. In other words, they started praising wicked people. U'L'Taiv Ra, and those who are really good, they started calling evil. Now, Mishrabu Aimrim, L'ra Taiv, L'Taiv Ra. Now, once people started actually mixing things up and saying that the wicked are good and the good are bad, Rabu Hai Hai Ba'ilam, so then there was an increase in people saying, whoa, whoa, in the world, which that is referenced over there in that parasha over there in Yeshaya. Mishrabu Maishre Heroik, when there was an increase in people who distanced their spittle, they spit far, which is a sign of being haughty. Rabu Hai Yehirim, so that caused an increase in people that were inflated ego. And therefore there was a decrease in students, because as the Gemara and Kedushin of Mem Tesem Abay says, a sign for Gassus Aruach of being inflated ego is a dearth, is a poverty of Torah. And therefore, the Torah goes and seeks those who learn it. In other words, maybe the Torah said, I'll find someone who wants to learn me. Now, Mishrabba HaYehim, once there was an increase in people who were Bali Gaiva, so then there was an increase, and the Jewish girls started getting married to these people that had high egos. And the reason being is, because our generation, people only see the external, and these people seem so great, wow, and they wanted to marry them. In truth, they're really very low. Now, the question is that really so? That women fell for these types of men? But the master said, "Hi, Mandabiyahar, this person that is a Balgaiva, a Filai Inchi, basically Mekabal, he's not even accepted by his own wife, his own family members." Shanem, like the Pasuk says, Chavakuk says, "Geva Yahar, a person that is haughty, Veloyinve, and he's not," that term could mean not beautiful, but the interpretation is, Loyinave, which is a Filibin Neveshali, that even in his own, house, he's looked upon with scorn and disdain. So how can we say that the women wanted to marry these people who have a high ego? So the Gemara explains, Mi'ikara kavtzali. Yeah, the problem is, originally, when they see this guy, he looks so great, and they jump for such a guy. L'saif mitazalai, yes. Ultimately, at the end, they become disgusting in their eyes. They can't stand their husband. Mishrabu metila malaya al bali batim. again, continue regarding the judges, that when the judges had an increase in giving over their money for merchandise to Balabatim, to people that know how to sell things, which is that through investing with them, they can gain a lot. So Rabbah HaShech, Vatiyas Mishpah, so that caused bribery and also slandering of the judgment, because here they are, they're invested in certain wealthy people, and because of that now they hold sway with the judges. Upaskataiva, and therefore it stopped the goodness. Mishirabu Mekablani Tevasach, when there was an increase in people who said, oh, I got your favor, Umachzakani Tevasach, or I really thank you for the favor that you did for me, which again, this is bad because, let's say, for sure in the case of judges, where they're beholden to this person. So Rabbi, there was an increase, as the Pasuk says in Shaftim, Ish hayasha be'en av yasa, every man does what's just and right in his own eyes, because they see that the judges show favoritism to a person, to him, where he says, oh, look, I see he's beholden to me, I'm not afraid of him anymore because I know I own him because of all the things that I do for him. So everyone does what they want to do. And shvalim hugbuhu v'agvayim hushpalu. So those who are really low down became great, and those who are really great were lowered down, and that is because the awe of the great people are not anymore on the lower people, and you can't tell the difference about who's really great and who's not. Umachusa, and the kingdom of the Jewish people, Azla v'Navla, went and was ruined. Mishirabu tzari ayin, when there was an increase in people that were stingy from giving from their money to other people, and v'terifei tarif, when there were people that are grabbers, they were thieves, and they became hardened of heart from having mercy on poor people, rabba b'matze aleiv, so that caused an increase in hardening of the hearts, and v'kevtzi yidayim al halvus, and from holding the fist tight from lending money, v'avra mashka kasa b'tarif, and that caused them to violate what it says in the Torah, in the pasuk in Devarim, where it says, yisham l'cha pen, be careful lest, v'goyim, etc., where the pasuk there says that you might have some type of forbidden thing in your heart to say, oh, the Shemitah year is coming, and then all the loans are going to be forgiven, and then you're not going to go ahead and loan, therefore that's a forbidden love not to loan, and that ended up happening, that the people violated that. Mishirabu, once there was an increase, as the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, that the Jewish women were the tuyis garen, outstretched necks, umesakri sinayim, and these fluttering eyes, so then Rabbah mayim hamorim, which actually, as Rashi explains, that there should have been an increase in the bitter waters because the husbands were jealous now of their wives getting attention and attracting the other men looking at her. Elisha Pasuk, but again, as we mentioned before, they stopped giving the Meisaita when there was an increase in Menafim and adulterers. Mishrabu Mekabli Matanis, when there was an increase of those who started accepting gifts, so Nesmata Yomim, so people's days got less, and Neskatza Hashalim, and their years started getting shorter. The Chassid, like it says, the Pasuk in Mishlei, B'soyni Matanis Yechir, the one who hates gifts live, which the opposite is understood, that someone that loves gifts, then he doesn't live as long. Mishrabu Zechuche Halev, and there was an increase in people who are of expansiveness of heart, and that is they're very proud, and they don't really pay attention to listen closely to when their teacher is talking, and rather they rely on their own understanding to be precise in what they listen to. So Rabbi Machlokes B'Yisrael, so because of that, they weren't really paying so much attention and being ibergegeben and being really paying attention. So that caused an increase in Machlokes in the Jewish people, because now people started saying different things that they really didn't hear. So too, Mishrabu Tamidi Shammai B'Hill, when there was an increase in the students of Shammai and Hill, Shlei Shimshu called Tzarkin, who didn't really fully serve as was necessary their teachers, Shaiman Hill, so Rabbi Machlekes B'Yisrael, that caused an increase in Machlekes in the Jewish people, because they started saying this and they started saying that because you didn't really hear what was said appropriately. And Manasseh's Torah, Kishtei Torah, almost caused like the Torah to be like two different Torahs, as we know the many Machlekes that there are between the schools of Shammai and the school of Hill. Moreover, Mishrabbi Mekablet Stokum in the Oivdik Achamun, there was an increase in those who received charity from the idol worshippers, then Hayu Yisrael Lamala V'Hein Lamata. So the Jewish people then were on the top, and the non-Jews were on the bottom. And Yisrael Lafanim V'Hein La'achir, the Jews were in the front, and they were in the back, which again, as Rashi explains, is actually euphemistically speaking, which it actually means the opposite, that the Jews were in the bottom and the Jews were in the back, because they were receiving charity from the idol worshippers. Now the Mishnah said also, Mishemes Yesi Ben Ye'ezer V'chulu, that when these two tzaddikim passed away, then there was Batlu Hashkoilis. Then the Ashkelis, which literally means to say the clusters, had then ceased to be. So the Gemara says, my Ashkelis, what does it mean, the clusters? So Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, it actually is a acronym of Ish Shaha Kol Boy, a man that there's everything in him, which is mean to say the total truth of Torah. There's no confusion, there's nothing being forgotten, there's no disagreement. When they passed away, that was the beginning of the machlekes, of the first machlekes regarding smicha on Karbanos and Yom Tov. And then there was obviously, as the generations went on, that you didn't have people that had the clarity of the entire Torah with them, caused more and more machlekes in regards to the words of the Torah.